Welcome to the Allison Lombatta Show, a podcast to help women discover and rediscover their confidence and style. I'm Allison Lombatta, and I am so excited to share today's episode with you. As I just mentioned, this podcast is about helping you discover and rediscover your confidence and style. And while my area of expertise is confidence as it relates to wardrobe, it's important for me to use this platform to encourage you in all areas of life, not just your clothes. And when I'm not the expert, I am delighted to introduce you to some of my friends and other voices who are. Which brings me to today's guest, Michaelyn Smith, also known as The Nester. Michaelyn is the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Welcome Home and Cozy Minimalist Home. For the past 17 years, she's been encouraging women to embrace their space, imperfections and all, and make it their own. Her previous homes have been featured in Better Homes and Gardens, Ladies Home Journal, and Cottages and Bungalows. She recently purchased and redecorated a 1905 Queen Anne Victorian home in North Carolina, which is the inspiration for her new book, House Rules. She's never met a home she didn't love, and she is the expert in helping you love your own home too. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please take a moment to do it now. I've got an incredible lineup of episodes for you in the coming weeks, and I don't want you to miss a thing. And if you enjoyed listening to the show, I would be so grateful if you could take a moment to rate it and review it now. I know it seems like a silly thing, but your review and rating really do help, especially for a new show like this one. Now let's get to my conversation with Michaelyn. Welcome to the show, Michaelyn. I am so excited to have you here. It is no secret that I have been a huge fan of your work, and you have been a huge influence on me with your encouraging voice that you bring to conversations around home. I am a total homebody myself, so following you online has really just inspired me to think differently about my own spaces. And for instance, we host big family gatherings pretty often, and while it's easy to get crazy about all of the little details and all of the things that honestly, like, no one else is going to notice, let's be honest. I just love that you have given me this reminder to focus on the things that actually matter. Things like having enough seating and spaces for people to put down their drinks and a self-serve drink station. And one that was a huge game changer for me was actually saying yes when people offer to contribute to the meal. And having smooth jazz playing in the background, like it's the little things, but you've really given me permission to welcome our family into my home with this calm, inviting energy that says, hey, we live here and we are so glad you're joining us. So thank you for that gift. I so appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. I mean, this work is the joy of a lifetime. And I feel the same way about you, Allison. I have your books. And you know, what I love is I think that you and I are so similar in what we do. You're just talking about the wardrobe and I am talking about decor, but the way that we teach and the things that we say, and I hope that the freedom that I give is similar to the freedom that you've given me in thinking about my clothes.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that. We do have so much overlap between the Alpha Formulas philosophy and the things that you're doing with the Cozy Minimalist community. You know, just really teaching women to discover their own unique home decor style. It's kind of like the, you know, give a man a fish versus teach a man a fish proverb, right? You're teaching women how to understand why they love or don't love their spaces. And then you're giving them that freedom and that confidence to make changes and giving them the ideas and solutions that really help them discover their own style. So this is a gift. It truly is of empowerment that you're giving to your community. And I am so excited to be able to share your wisdom with our listeners today. Thank you. So I know your focus is on style as it relates to home decor, but if you'll just indulge me in a little bit of a tangent here, I would love to hear about some of your style mentors and influences that you've had in the personal style space in your life.
Oh, that's so good. I feel dumb saying this because Joanna Gaines, obviously great house, but I like her wardrobe more than I like her decor. I love the way she dresses. I think she's got a great sense of self, and I think she's going to be dressing her way in 20 years. She dressed her way 20 years ago, and I absolutely love that. And I'm very inspired by that, and I want all of her clothes.
I totally get it. Yes. I feel like the thing that she does really well is, like you said, she stays true to her style. She doesn't kind of like follow the trends. And I also see the things that the way that she dresses are expressed in the ways that she decorates and styles homes too. So I do see like that overlap between personal style and decor and just incorporating the things that you love. Like I have leopard print in every room of my house. Like that is one of my things. I love wearing it and I have it in my home too. I like the pops of pink and black and white stripes. Do you find that your personal style influences are also showing up in your home decor and really vice versa?
Absolutely. I love interesting details and silhouettes. I love asymmetrical. So I would love a blouse that's like interestingly cut. I would love a planter that's interestingly cut. So I'm all about neutrals, but like textures, unexpected combinations, playing with scale, playing with fancy, put together with like a pair of ripped jeans. So all of those, I'm all about the combinations. That's what I love.
I love your earrings today. If you're not watching us on YouTube, be sure to tune in so you can see them. But they have that texture and that scale. And I feel like that's just something that you bring into your spaces too.
I hope so. It's fun.
It is. It's so fun to be able to express yourself in so many different ways. And decor and style are two of those ways that we can absolutely let our personalities show. So on your website, I love this. You shared the following. Home exists to serve people, not the other way around. The size of your house doesn't dictate the size of your hospitality. Home should be the safest place on earth to take a risk. Unique style always trumps trends. Cozy doesn't have to mean cluttered. Minimal doesn't have to mean cold. It doesn't have to be complicated to be festive, and it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. I adore every single sentiment you shared there. There is just so much peace and permission in every single word. Have you always felt this way about your spaces? And if not, what has your journey looked like to get to this place of contentment?
It's such a good question. This feels like my manifesto. And although I don't think I've always believed these 100%, I've always secretly hoped that they were true. I think you and I are close to the same age. You know, I'm 50. I'll be 51 this year. I've been making home for 30 years. And probably the first few years, I longed to believe those things were true. I longed to see someone comfortable in their home, someone with a cool home that wasn't ridiculous, that I admired, that wasn't, all I had was Martha Stewart at the time. Like that's all any of us had. A little bit of HGTV at the beginning, but nothing like we have now. I think the idea of perfection was still kind of the only thing out there. So feeling like there is a place for the everyday, it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful, living our lives, letting things be half done and good enough and enjoying the beauty where we are in the midst of imperfect circumstances was something I really, really wished could be true. I had a lot of friends that were designers and it was a lot about getting your custom fabric and taking it to the workroom and getting your $1,800 drapes. And then having, I live in North Carolina. Like we have furniture stores everywhere. We have custom furniture. We have High Point and Market and it was all over. And that was not something that I was really even cared to aspire to. I just wanted to love my home. I wanted to love my home so I could use my home. Like I've been doing this for 17 years. I haven't met one person who's like, I want to have a really pretty house. Can you help me? Because I want to impress my sister-in-law and I want to show off to all my neighbors. Like, that's not what any of us want. We just want to not be embarrassed of our home and have it reflect our style. We want to be able to use it. And I feel like, you know, if we're doing that, we're doing it right.
Absolutely. I love that we have style influences like you now that we can, you know, get that authenticity from and really, you know, that's what our spaces are about. They should be that reflection of that authentic experience that we want to have. And I feel too, I'm also 50, turning 51 this year, that as I've gotten older, you know, it's become more and more meaningful and more important to be able to show up in that way and have, you know, just everything around me be reflective of the person that I am now and who I've been and who I'm becoming. So that is absolutely beautiful. And you have a new book, House Rules, that's coming out tomorrow, April 23rd. Congratulations. And I love what you share in the book. You said, or what you share about the book. You said, this is not a typical design book about how to copy my style or get my look. It's a book that will teach you how to get your style and your look. I'm obsessed with helping people make confident decorating decisions. First off, this is so so empowering. And it hits home for me so much because I feel like so much of what we see online these days is about copying someone else. And maybe that was the old form of, you know, decor back in the Martha Stewart days. And people always seem to want the exact links to, you know, what you're wearing or what you're buying or what you're putting in your home. So tell me more about how you're helping people make confident decorating decisions.
I agree exactly with what you said. I feel like when we are following people in different fields, whether it be someone who's cooking or someone helping us in their closet or minimalizing and simplifying, organizing or decorating, I feel like people that are kind of leaders in those industries are in one or two camps. They are either influencers and they, like you said, are giving links, which is such, it's a lot of work. And I'm always grateful for that so that we can find that exact coffee table so that we can get that beautiful pillow that they have in their house. So it's like an influencer we can imitate. And there are many times that I need and want that. I have lots of beautiful decorating books that are images to aspire to. And I'm so grateful to have that. But then I think on the flip side of that, there are people, and I feel like you're one of those, I'm one of those that are more teachers and we long to be mentors, that we can model a mindset and we can teach a mindset that isn't about the exact blouse you're wearing. It's not about this sofa and where I bought my exact sofa and what fabric I have on it. It's helping people kind of have a higher vision and figure out how to make decisions, confident decisions that they will be happy with, and teaching the why. And that is what I am completely obsessed with. I mean, and I'm an Enneagram 5. I don't know if you're into Enneagram, but like I'm a total nerdy scientist. Are you a 5? Of course you are. You're
I'm a 5.
Yeah. Works. I mean, and like, so I'm like, it's not enough to know to pick the pretty one. My question is, what makes it pretty? Why is that lamp the pretty one? Why in my last house, when I put the artwork on my mantle with this candlestick and with this potted plant, it looked amazing. And then I moved to another house. I put the same stuff up and it looks ridiculous. Like I want to get to the bottom of why some things look great and other things look horrible. And I have, and I can tell you how to figure it out for yourself too. And that's exactly what House Rules is. It's like a troubleshooting book for making decorating decisions.
Ah, I can't wait to get it in my hands. We moved a few years ago, like you did. And I really struggled with, okay, none of this decor from the other house is kind of working with this house, and really just working through that process of figuring out what works and what doesn't. And this house has kind of a different personality, yet bringing my personality with from the old house into the new house. I know that you have tons of experience with that. You've recently moved into a 1905 Queen Anne Victorian, which is beautiful. I've so enjoyed watching that journey. So how have you been able to take, you know, the house rules along with you as you've moved?
I'll tell you, I had always said that I would buy any kind of house except a Victorian because I don't like those creepy details. Ta-da!
Never say never.
I know, that's how it is. And it's been really good for me because I do think that when you move into a house, like we all have our own style. And like I said, I love combinations. I love like high style and low style and modern with country and different things like that. But then I come to this house and she's got her own style. So all of a sudden, everything that looked great in my last house, which was a very rustic farmhouse with like orangey leather, wide plank floors. We lived in the country and had ducks. My raw pine materials, like my tables and benches, they looked hideous here because I have dark, shiny mahogany. That's 100 years old in this house, and they didn't get along, but 80% of my stuff did. So it was really this journey of like letting the house have a voice and honoring my own style and saying, okay, like where's that Venn diagram where both of us can get along? I mean, in the wardrobe, I so often compare my things to like, what is it like in a wardrobe? Like if you're going to a fancy wedding, and a fancy wedding is not my thing. However, if I have to go to a fancy wedding, then I'm going to combine my style and the expected style. And together, we're going to come up with an appropriate thing that I feel comfortable with that is not ridiculous for me to show up in, but that reflects my style. And I think sometimes that can be a pain, but really when it comes down to it, I think that's like the fun part of decorating for me.
Yeah, and I think there's so much freedom in that too. You say in House Rules that no one is born with a decorating gene. And I love that you said that because I always say one of the Alpha Formula's philosophies is that style is a skill that anyone can learn. And how does that knowledge that we're not born with this decorating gene really kind of help us on the journey?
I think, you know, women have looked me in the eye and kind of laughed and said that exact thing. I'm not born with a decorating gene. One lady said, I wasn't born with a decorating thumb, which I thought was hysterical. But I understand. I mean, I know growing up, I compare it to when I was in elementary school. You know, every Monday we get the spelling test and we know it's coming on Friday. And every Friday, Allison, I mean, I was doing bad. I would get like D's and F's in spelling in elementary school because I did not realize that we were supposed to be studying every night. Like we were supposed to be going home and writing the words. I thought, this sounds ridiculous, I truly thought that we were supposed to be tested on what we knew. And we either knew spelling or we didn't. And I didn't until a teacher came and she was like, no, this is school. We are learning. We're all learning together. This person's getting an A because they went home and wrote the words down and they studied. I before E, except after C. And we had these things that we could implement. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can learn as well. And it's the same way with all of these skills, whether it's your wardrobe, whether it's picking out a sofa that you don't hate tomorrow. There are universal decorating truths. There are universal truths that apply to so many areas that's what makes people seem like they were born with a certain gene. Is because when I was playing Barbies at 12 years old, I was decorating. And so I got to make all these mistakes when I was 12 in the privacy of my bedroom with my sister holding Skipper, while other people have to wait and do it when they're 25 in their first apartment. So I got to kind of learn early. And I think that is what makes it sometimes feel like, well, you were just born that way. It wasn't. I had to figure it out too. But now, you know, people that either went to school for decorating or people like me are just kind of obsessed with it their entire life. It seems like we know the secret code and we don't. They're just things that we don't know we know because we're not writing them down or, you know, thinking about how we actually made that decision. They're actually very simple. They're very logical and they can help you make a decision that you're super happy with.
I love that. It provides that guidance. You don't have to be, I mean, a lot of the experts that we look up to are just a few steps ahead of us on the journey, right? And I love that you mentioned that you had that opportunity to experiment when you were in your teens with decorating. And that's something probably a lot of us don't really think about other than, you know, having the ability to decorate our bedrooms. But style, again, is kind of the same way. If we don't get that opportunity to experiment with it when we're in those kind of formative years of our teens, it's still something we can come back to later on in life. I didn't discover my personal style until I was in my 30s because I didn't have that sort of experimentation phase, but really just learning or accepting that this was a skill that I could learn. And just like you did with a spelling test, having somebody give you the parameters around that, this is what studying for this looks like. These are the steps that you can take. Breaking it down, it's the same thing with decor. So I love that analogy. It's so good. So good. Thank you. And, you know, getting started sometimes is the hard part, right? It's no matter how badly you want it, you might want just these perfectly decorated spaces that have so much meaning to you. What do you think is the one thing that holds most people back when it comes to making changes in their home?
I feel like I'm pretty sure I know exactly what this is. In our 30 years of being married, Chad and I, this is our 15th home. So we've had to set up and break down and move a lot. And the thing that held me most back, and I think the people in my community, the people that I talk to, we are waiting for better circumstances. We are waiting for perfect circumstances. We are unhappy with the imperfect circumstances, whether that is budget, having our name on the mortgage, knowing that we're going to move again in a few years, waiting for a partner, waiting until we find our style and name our style, which by the way, does not help at all. It's cute, but like what do? Go to the like cottage store now and buy everything? Nope, you can't do that. I think the best thing we can do is to begin to make changes in the midst of our imperfect circumstances. That is where we learn. That is where we get to experiment. We can try temporary fixes. So if we can just choose to stop waiting for our next house, that's such a huge hurdle to get over. There's no HGTV shows about that. It's not sexy and like, I can't make a reel about it really, but that really is just, you have to have that mindset shift that now's the time. Yeah. And I'm just going to go ahead and wherever I am, I'm going to choose to make it my own.
I love that so much. You've heard it. Michael Lynn says, you have permission to take imperfect action now. Don't wait for those perfect circumstances to come about. And I love that you did mention budget, because I, you know, our audience is extremely budget conscious. And this is always such an important consideration. And a lot of people struggle to make those changes in their home because it is just so darn expensive and gets more expensive every day. So what tips do you have? You've got so many good tips in this space, but if we're needing to either decorate on a dime or repurposing things that we already have.
First of all, I think pretty much everyone is aware of the budget and no one has an unlimited budget. At least I haven't met them. I guess they're probably not reading my blog. If they do, you're in good company is the point. But I do say that decorating starts in your head, not the furniture store. And I think that's when you understand that mindset and you're not like, oh, I hate my house, so therefore I need to go to the nearest furniture store and start shopping. Like, that is the biggest disaster waiting to happen. You know, the first thing you need to think is, well, first of all, we start one room at a time. If you hate your whole house, or if you're unhappy with your whole house, you want to make a change, great. Let's start with one room. And we're going to work through a room from start to finish. There's a 5-step process. It makes sense. Every decision you make will make the next decision easier and build your confidence. And it's amazing. It's like this order of decor. But we always just start and say, well, what do I love about this room? I think that's such a great place to start, is just with gratitude. And then thinking about, well, for the next few years, how many people need to use this room and what activities need to happen in here? And so there's like 3 or 4 steps before you even get to the furniture. And then you start thinking about your seating, your surfaces, and your storage, and you quiet your room. I like to make an inspiration board on Pinterest and, you know, just pin any rooms that feel amazing when you think about whatever room it is. Say it's your living room. Doesn't matter if it has 10-foot ceilings or fireplace and you don't. It's about kind of honing in on your vibe. And all these little steps, what they do is they give us confidence before we ever have to make a decision. A lot of people, you know, I have a private community where everyone's making decisions about decorating in their home. Most people are not buying a new sofa all the time. A lot of times it's editing out. A lot of times it's moving something from one room to another room. One of the house rules is just shopping your house. It's a shopping your house and using your house as a store, kind of like how you say shop your closet. It's great for your budget, but it's also really great for helping you make decisions. Like, let's say you're in your dining room and you think, I would really like to have a pair of upholstered chairs at the end of, you know, each end of my table. You do not go start looking on Wayfair. No, no, no. What you do is you walk around your house and you find 2 upholstered chairs and you drag them into the end of your table. Maybe you get one from your daughter's nursery and you get one from the family room and you leave it like that for a day or two. And then you just evaluate. And what you'll realize is like, well, that chair is, the seat is way too low to go with the table, or the back is too high, or I want something with exposed arms, or I want no arms, or I want something with a skirt. You use the items you have to evaluate what it is you do and don't want, so that when you do finally go into the furniture store or you do shop on Facebook Marketplace, you know that you need a skirted 18-inch high chair on casters with or without arms, you know, in a light fabric. So now you have information. Now you feel ready to shop.
Ah, that's brilliant. Yes, yes. Experimentation and evaluation and figuring it out. Oh my gosh. It just helps you to make such better informed decisions and really get clarity around what you want. And you mentioned frameworks. I'm obsessed with frameworks, and I love that you include this, because it is something that is so teachable and that breaks down something that can be extremely overwhelming for us. And something fun and new to me that I learned from you is about this trinity of rugs, drapes, and lighting. So I guess a few rules come into place with the trinity. Could you share why this combo of items is the one thing that you want people to learn from this book?
I think it's the one thing that I realized for years I was missing. It was stumping me and I couldn't figure out. And it wasn't until about 15 years ago, we moved into a fixer-upper and, you know, I unpacked all my cute little stuff and I did my coffee table and my mantle and put a couple little rugs on the floor. And I had a big sectional at the time, and this house had like a corner wall. So I put the sectional in the corner, and then there was like this huge expanse of 2 walls. So I hung a few pieces of art, and of course they weren't that big. So I hung more art up there, and I sat back and I looked around and I was like, I hate this. This is chaotic. I don't like this. And so I did know enough to turn to my Pinterest board. I had made a board thinking about when we moved to my new house, what I wanted to feel like. And so I opened my computer and I looked down at these rooms and I looked back at my own room And I'm like, this, what is it? It was driving me crazy. So I just, you know, approached it like a scientist. And so I thought, I'm going to count the items. So Allison, I counted the items in a couple of the photos. And I know, you know, it's not the whole room. It's a shot. You get 3 or 2.5 walls. But in these couple of rooms that I picked out that I'm like, these I especially loved, they had, you know, 18 items, a sofa, 2 chairs, a coffee table, a large rug, curtains, a lamp, an overhead light, artwork, a big plant on the coffee table. And I looked up at my room and counted, and I had like 58 items. My coffee table had like 14 little tchotchkes all filled up. My gallery wall, which I had kind of done on accident because my art wasn't the right size, I had just continued to like accidentally add to fill up space. I was in this mental race, like, I got to fill up space. My lamp was too small on my little dresser that I had in my living room. And so, of course, I knew like the human spirit were created to identify and notice balance. And so I knew like, oh, this is off. This doesn't feel right. But instead of saying that lamp and the scale of the dresser don't go together, I should get a bigger lamp, I didn't do that. I was like, oh, I'll just add a bunch more stuff. I'll just add like 3 pieces of art on the wall and like 3 more planters and a clock and like a stack of books to raise the lamp. I was in this mindset of like, I need to add more stuff. And I was so sure that if I could just look at my Pinterest board, I would see these secret things that I should go buy to add to my room, and then I would like it. And what I discovered is no, it was actually the opposite. I needed to subtract a lot of the small things, but the 3 things that I noticed every room that I loved had that I did not was they all had a rug that was quite large and an investment in some ways, depending on what kind of rug you like. But their rugs in the family room, for example, your rug is supposed to go at least under the front feet of your primary seating. When it doesn't do this, it literally makes your room look smaller. It's like wearing the wrong size jeans. It's the worst. And so I had like 3 little rugs all scattered around. But when I finally got the right size rug, and I had to get like a 10 by 14 rug, it made all the difference. Suddenly, you know, a rug takes up this much space on your floor. It's not filling up your surfaces and wall, but it filled up in a way that was cozy and in a way that was welcoming and in a way that made my room feel complete. And suddenly I didn't feel this urge to like add a bunch of little stuff. It was the same with lighting. I realized, you know, I'm kind of decorating with dorm room lights. They were never meant to go next to a 90-inch sofa, these little 12-inch lights. These lights in my Pinterest boards had presence. They had scale. The bases were like a beautiful vase and had decor. They weren't invisible. If we're going to choose things to decorate with, most likely we want things that are seen. How about that? And beautiful like statement chandeliers. And then the 3rd thing that I noticed a lot of these rooms had were drapes hung correctly, hung high, hung wide, not really covering up any natural light. But it was this, again, a layer of coziness on the walls, not filling up surfaces. And if I wanted color, if I wanted texture, if I wanted it to be neutral, if I wanted it to be loud, like you can pick your own style within that. But when I ended up pulling all the small things out of my room, and I was like, I'm going to get that rug, I'm going to get some lamps, and I'm going to hang drapes. When I did that, and of course, I had my seating surfaces and storage in place, my room was 90% done. And I was like, oh, this is the secret. This is it. It was unbelievable. So that's the homey trinity, your rugs, your drapes, and your lighting.
What a game changer. And I love that you mentioned this issue with scale, because I feel like even if you have a smaller space, just paying attention to that scale. What recommendations do you have if you don't have the big family room when it comes to the rug and lighting and drapes trinity? Is it basically just scaling it down to that space?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that even if you are in a place with carpet, now it's one thing if you chose the carpet and loved it, but I know I have been in a rental with carpet I hated, and I was so grateful to get to buy a rug and then roll it up and take it with me. How wonderful is that? But yes, our last house, my living room actually was very small. It was about 15 by 12 and it had a couple of walkthroughs, a tiny little living room. I'm telling you, I know it sounds ridiculous. I don't work for a rug store, but getting the right size rug expands the room and makes it feel bigger. the bigger your room, the bigger rug you can have, the more opportunity maybe for lamps that you need because the more seating. But even in a smaller room, usually a layer of three or four lamps with nice shade, they make you feel pretty and look young. And, you know, in the winter, when it gets dark at 5 o'clock, you can actually see to read the newspaper. Even if you only have one or two windows, again, I'm not talking about functional window treatments that if you're walking naked through a room or if you have the sun coming through, you definitely need those. But I am talking about here decorative drapes that are just, they literally cover the wall, not the window. So we are not taking away from any precious light. It almost lowers the amount of wall space that you have because a wall space can be a bit intimidating. Most of us have art that is too small. So to go to your question, like, what if you have a small living room? Actually, scale is your friend, because if you don't have larger scale items, which of course, you know, you can't have a huge sofa, you're going to get your sofa to scale, but you can still pair a piece of art that is in relationship with the sofa, which means it's usually about 2/3 the size of your sofa, the art that's hanging over. I never measure, just kind of an eyeball thing, but that's still going to look right whether you live in a tiny house or a mansion.
I'm learning so much. I'm struggling with artwork still, so I'm definitely going to be applying some of these principles.
Same. I think that's the trickiest thing. And I'm so picky with art. I mean, even behind me right now, I have like this placeholder. This does not make, this scale is all wrong. I'm waiting for a piece of art to be delivered, but it's a long story. But you know, it takes time. And I think it's fun. I think it's fun to like shop your house and try things. This was in my living room and it fell off the wall. And I'm like, oh, I should see what it looks like in my bedroom. So just try different pieces in different areas and see what you think.
I love that so much. I did that over Christmas. I moved out some of my artwork that we had in our dining area and put it into a hallway. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks so much better here. Like I'm keeping this here from now on and replaced what we had going on in the dining room. So brilliant idea. So although the book is called House Rules, you actually don't like rules, which I love. I feel the same way about style. So why are rules so problematic for creative spaces?
I don't know if you've read any of Andrew Peterson's books. He's a songwriter, singer-songwriter. He's a creative. I think he paints. And, you know, the books that he writes really are for creatives. And one of the things that he says in one of his books is that for any creative endeavor, you have to earn the right to break the rules, which I love. Because I want us to learn the rules of good design about balance, about scale, about, you know, symmetry, so that when we break the rules, which I totally want, that's the rule number one, learn the rules, then break them beautifully. But I want us to break the rules because we believe the room is going to look better, not because we're clueless and we don't know better. Breaking the rules with confidence is a completely different thing than breaking the rules because you don't know a rule exists.
So good. So good. All right. So we had a fun question submitted by an Instagram follower, Jessica, and this is a good one. She asked, how can I use decor to prevent my hubby from putting stuff on every flat surface, but not make my house look cluttered?
That's a great question, Jessica. In my house, I'm the one that does that more than my husband. So I have two things. Number one, I've learned in my house to designate some surfaces as empty surfaces. I think we've all heard organizing gurus say that clutter attracts clutter. And I believe that. I even think that beautiful decor attracts beautiful decor. So if we are styling every room of our house with, you know, a planter and a stack of books and a candle, I do think that kind of gives everyone in the family permission to pile on additional things there. And so for me, you know, even in my house where it's my job to make vignettes and take pictures of them, every main room of our house has one designated surface that doesn't really have decor that lives on it. It is pretty much an empty surface. In my kitchen, that's our island. In our family room, that's the coffee table. That's like by our back door. Sometimes that's a surface there. And I let that be empty. And what happens is if my family sees it's empty, then everyone's kind of like, oh, I'm not supposed to put things there. We have places to put other things, and me as well. The other trick that I do is I call them home bases. One thing I do have on my kitchen island, because my stove is in my island and I want to have like my salt and my pepper and all of my stirring utensils. And what else do I have? You know, the garlic, just you got like 47 things that you want to have access to right there. But instead of those 47 things just separately sitting out and looking like a bunch of clutter and then collecting more clutter, I provide myself with what I call a home base. And so this instance, it's a tray. It's a big, deep tray and everything sits on the tray. And what happens is like a tricking myself because the tray reads as one thing, even though it's like holding a bunch of thousand little bitty things. It feels like it's just one thing. And so that doesn't, I don't want to mess it up. Like I don't want to add a bunch of mail and papers there. I do that next to my bed. I have a tray, you know, with my melatonin and my, you know, put my rings down and that's where I set my water. And so the tray is where things go. And then everything else, because I do love an empty surface. I think it's one of life's small luxuries is to have some surfaces with nothing on it. And then I, of course, I have other surfaces in my house that I always have decorated. And those are usually kind of the out of the way, like the mantle. You know, I don't need the mantle to do a puzzle or to eat pizza on. And so that surface is going to be decorated. But our hardest working surfaces, I decided a long time ago that it was okay to not feel like those always had to be vignetted.
I love that. Creates that kind of white space in our lives, right? Like we need that in our calendars and we need it in our homes too. So yes, there's some serenity that comes around that for sure. Well, thank you so much, Michaelyn, for sharing your expertise and your philosophies and honestly inspiring me personally in so many ways. I know I can't wait to put some of these tips into action after today. So where can our listeners go to connect with you and purchase a copy of House Rules?
Oh, well, I talk about home all the time at thenester.com. You can buy the book wherever books are sold, online, on Instagram. I'm at thenester. And, you know, I see the world through house colored glasses. And I just want everyone coming away with a little idea to implement, a little bit of encouragement, you know, whatever it is. That's why I'm here.
I love that. I love it so much. And if you're listening to the episode the day it comes out, which is on Monday, April 22nd, you can still pre-order the book today and claim pre-order bonuses. Is that correct?
That is right. And so the pre-order bonus, I brought in a camera crew to my Victorian house and we walked through every room and we bought the house 1 year almost to the day before I had to turn in photos. So I had to make a bunch of decorating decisions so I could get the house ready to take photos for the book. So I tell in every room which house rules bossed me and made me help me make the decisions. And then also, if you are able to pre-order, we are giving the audiobook away for free as well. So you can listen to me read the rules to you like a bedtime story if you want.
I love it. So good. I can't wait to get my hands on those. Well, we will also link all of Michaelyn's information in her book in the show notes, and you can get that at allisonlobatis.com/podcast. Michaelyn, it has been a true joy having you here today. Thank you for inspiring me and our listeners.
Thank you, Allison.
I would love to hear your thoughts about Michaelyn's approach to home decor. Did any of her suggestions help you look at your home with fresh eyes? What is holding you back from making functional, beautiful changes to your own space? And what was your favorite part of today's episode? Let's open a dialogue and connect. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube as Allison Lombatis, and I would love to hear from you. Remember, you are worthy, style is a skill anyone can learn, and closet and home contentment is possible. I believe in you, and thanks for tuning in.